The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jane Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and we begin with this one from Woman's Day, Teaching Calmness. Slowing down the body and mind has health benefits for the whole family. These tips will get you started. Mindfulness is having a moment. Experts say the practice of being fully aware of your thoughts and feelings in a non-judgmental way can help reduce stress responses, improve cognition or focus, fight pain, and more. Kids can benefit from it, too. Meditation is the most studied form of mindfulness, but there are plenty of other ways to embrace the practice with your family, says Lara Fielding, MD, a clinical psychologist and the author of Mastering Adulthood. Make it a game. Introduce the concept of mindfulness by working it into family activities. For example, go on a hike together and hunt for certain colors or plants. Pay attention to your footsteps or see how quietly everyone can walk for a few minutes, suggests Jill Emanuel, PhD, Senior Director of the Mood Disorders Center at the Child Mind Institute. Another option, try mindful eating. For a couple minutes during dinner or dessert, engage all five senses and focus on how your food looks, smells, tastes, and feels in your mouth. Do some belly breathing. To help your family settle down and reconnect during cranky moments, invite everyone to do this. Put one hand on your stomach and the other on your heart. When you inhale, let your belly expand. Exhale longer than you inhaled. Try breathing in for 5 seconds and exhaling for 7, or inhaling for 3 seconds and exhaling for 5. The pace will vary for each person. Find your own rhythm, says Fielding. This type of breathing calms the nervous system and lowers the stress response. It also makes everyone shift attention away from whatever they were distracted or upset by before, says Fielding. Try a guided meditation. If your kids are ready for a more formal meditation, one idea is to engage them where they usually are, which is on their phones, says Emmanuel. She suggests downloading an app or finding a video on YouTube with a short 1 to 2 minute meditation. Woman's Day's suggestion, the meditation app Stop, Breathe, and Think, which is available across all formats here, which earned a Woman's Day Great Value Award last year, has a version for kids ages 5 to 10, as well as one for teens and adults. And last, let kids be emotional. Sometimes when you pause to focus on your thoughts, you realize you don't feel so great, and that's okay for kids, too. Parents often try to rescue kids from their feelings rather than validate those feelings, says Fielding. Let children know they don't have to hide it when they feel crummy, and that being aware of all emotions is a form of mindfulness. Next, from Better Homes and Gardens, the Give Back Guide. Let us give you a little help in figuring out how to do the most good with your time and money and donate both in meaningful ways. First, worthy places to donate time. In addition to a food bank or soup kitchen, consider the library. You can help people learn a second language or computer skills, file taxes, write resumes. There are many ways to help besides filing books, says Julie Vandelinder, Chief of Strategy and Business Operations for Volunteer Match. Also consider the firehouse. During toy drives, they might need help sorting and matching toys to recipients. And around town, your Chamber of Commerce can give ideas, but consider shoveling driveways, taking treats to the elderly, or picking up litter at a local park. Four ways to make sure your money goes where it really should. No matter if you're donating $5 or $500, it pays to do your homework. One, donate to research and social services. You'll do the most good by splitting contributions between organizations that fund research, support advocacy, and directly benefit people impacted by an issue, says Daniel Borichoff, president of Charity Watch. For example, you could give to Cancer Care, which supports anyone affected by cancer, and to the Cancer Research Institute. Both are highly rated groups. 2, screen out phone solicitations. It's expensive for charities to hire telemarketers to call you and ask for money. Your dollars might better serve those groups if you give directly to the charity of your choice, not the one that slipped past your usual call screening. Borichoff also notes that with cold calls, most money typically goes to fundraising expenses rather than the actual cause. 3, limit impulse giving. Making an informed decision puts more power behind your cash. Want to help end food insecurity? Reach out to a local food bank. Looking to support the fight against heart disease? Ask a doctor or social worker for reputable charities. Talk to people who know the ins and outs of the cause so you can make sure your money is going to the best place, Borichoff says. Find proof the money is helping. The more details you can find about a charity's efforts and spending on its website and social media posts or at a watchdog group like Charity Watch, the better. This info is especially important when helping with the aftermath of a natural disaster. Look for groups that have people on the ground. That means they have the contacts to give immediate help. Beware of fake charities. Fraudulent groups try to fool you with similar names, Red Cross of Americas instead of American Red Cross, for example. It's easy to get confused, and the more emotional the cause, the more susceptible you may be. Be particularly careful when giving to groups that appeal to your heartstrings, like ones that benefit firefighters, veterans, or police officers. Daniel Borichoff of Charity Watch says, look for proof that you're supporting a registered charity with a 501c3 status. You can check at give.org, charitynavigator.org, and guidestar.org. Then find out what the money's used for, such as healthcare, housing, and check if the government or union already provides that. Next, buying a gift that gives back. When shopping where purchases benefit charities, read the websites to learn which specific charities they donate to. It's not enough to say underprivileged youth. How much they donate per item purchased. Look for actual percentages of each sale rather than a portion of the proceeds. Their total contributions to date are interesting too. For family-friendly charity ideas, kids experience the true meaning of giving back when participating in these activities. 1, collect items for an animal shelter. There are usually age restrictions around volunteering at a shelter, but kids can still help furry friends. Let them gather and drop off worn rugs, blankets, towels, and other items used for bedding. Brighten a patient's day. Parents of crafty kids, take note. Many hospitals, nursing homes, and adult care facilities accept homemade items like fleece blankets, scarves, and hats. Call the facilities in your area to find out what they need and accept. Of course, cards with holiday and well wishes are always a welcome treat. 3, plant a garden. You might need to wait until warmer weather, but keep this in mind. Volunteering at a community garden has a triple benefit. It gets kids involved in giving back to their community, teaches about healthy foods, and is good exercise. Many community gardens donate some of their yield to food banks. Start there to find a garden that needs volunteers. And raising money for a cause. Lemonade stands are a hit in summer. Try a hot chocolate stand this time of year. Check if you need a permit. Have kids decide who they want to help. Children, animals, victims of a recent natural disaster or other crisis. Pick an organization, get the word out, and set up the stand. Consider spending time at a soup kitchen the day after Thanksgiving or Christmas, through the end of winter. That's when it's harder to find volunteers. And last, look at what organizations are asking for and think about the skills you can bring. And that was Julie Vandelinder from Volunteer Match. From Women's Day, an easy heart booster. Improving your heart health doesn't require drastic changes. In fact, when people cut just 300 calories a day from their diets and stayed at that lower level, their cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar all got better, even if they were already at a healthy weight, according to a significant new study. We expected some health improvement due to weight loss, but we were surprised that cutting so few calories had such a large impact, says William E. Krause, M.D., Johnson Distinguished Professor at Duke University School of Medicine. As a guide, 300 calories is about the amount in a cup of chocolate ice cream, two cans of soda, or one slice of the beloved pizza. From Better Homes and Gardens, this is just your guide to a happy, healthy life. A couple of littles. 40% of Americans wouldn't be able to pay for an unexpected $400 expense in cash. Experts advise having 3 months of living expenses saved. Aim to save at least 5% of your paycheck monthly. Even $20 a month will add up. Maximize your savings with a high-yield account. Look for one without a minimum. Next, petting a furry friend 10 minutes relieves stress. College students who petted a cat or dog lowered their levels of cortisol, a stress hormone, by 9%. Another one, people ate 124 more calories daily after they started exercising regularly. It might not seem like much, a slice of cheese, a piece of toast, but it's enough to counteract your weight loss goals or even cause weight gain. Be especially mindful after exercising because it's easy to eat more without realizing it. And last, your risk of dementia decreases by 32% if you live a healthy lifestyle, even if the condition runs in your family. To protect your brain, limit alcohol to no more than one drink a day. Exercise regularly. Get 20 minutes a day. Walking counts. Eat a diet high in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And please don't smoke. From Real Simple, 5 ways to pull great stories out of your family. Break through the small talk and connect with loved ones on a deeper level this holiday season. First, let them teach you something. Show a genuine curiosity in your relatives' passions. If your cousin is always playing Fortnite, don't say, "Oh, there you are playing that video game again." Ask her how it works. Kids especially love to teach adults, and they open up when you engage in an activity side by side. It's less intimidating than a face-to-face discussion. Everyone wants to be seen as an expert in something, whether it's a toddler in the alphabet or a preteen in gaming. Offer them that chance. 2, prioritize your family history. My father was a Holocaust survivor who passed away when I was 19, and there's so much I wish I had asked him about our heritage. It's important to ask questions while you can, and holiday gatherings are the perfect opportunity to do so. You can interview your relatives and record their answers, or request that each person bring a few old photos and ask them to tell you about the people in the photos. You may be surprised by how vividly your older family members recall their younger years. One casual way for meaningful conversations to unfold, ask couples how they met. Everyone loves to hear and tell those stories. 3, make it playful. Play can help bridge the gap between generations. Put a piece of family trivia at each place setting. Who had a yellow Volkswagen in high school? Who spent a month backpacking in Asia? And have guests try to match it with the correct relative. My family also loves what we call typewriter tales. Everyone takes turns writing one sentence of a story on an old typewriter throughout the day. The final story is always hilarious. Each person's unique humor gets a chance to shine. Playful activities work wonders, helping people of all ages relax and connect on a new level. 4, toss out some prompts. At the month, we hold open mic events where participants tell stories based on prompts, which are also great for generating sharing at the holidays. Going around the table to answer a prompt can pull people out of their shells and prevent one person from dominating the conversation. Some to consider? Tell us about a time you couldn't believe your eyes. Tell us about when you bit off more than you could chew. Tell us about a bond in your life that was unbreakable. You can also encourage family members to come up with their own ideas. The options to get the stories flowing are endless, and you never know what you'll learn. And 5, talk less, listen more. Opening up interesting conversations is simpler than people think. Just listen. Talking to an active listener is so powerful, especially when they ask good questions. A typical phone call with my grandmother, grandfather in Iraq would be a quick hi and bye if I didn't ask things like, what's new with those neighbors who used to always give me chocolate? I also try to connect their conversations to stories he's told me earlier. Oh, so now I understand why you love the beach so much. Show the other person that you're truly paying attention, that you care, and you want to hear more. From Martha Stewart Living, Head to Toe Helpers. And these are some products they are recommending, I believe. One, shorten showers. Hot water dehydrates your skin, says someone named Ms. Feely. So dial it down and step out after 10 minutes, tops. Smooth on body lotion within 3 minutes of toweling off, as the formulas work by trapping existing moisture. Her go-to is Vanic Cream Moisturizing Skin Cream, available for $7 from Target. Then go full steam. Close the bathroom windows and door when you shower, and put a humidifier by your bed to help replenish skin overnight. And three, wear layers. Artificial heat is as drying as cold air. Instead of cranking it up, get cozy in sweaters and blankets. If your favorite turtleneck is wool, Ken Carrot, they advise wearing breathable cotton underneath to prevent itchiness. From Woman's Day, we've got clever uses for safety pins. Feel secure with these great tips. One, keep your gloves together. Before storing winter clothes at the end of the season, attach matching gloves with safety pins to ensure that they'll make it to next year as a pair. Two, decorate a cake. Trace your designs in frosting with the tip of a pin before following the lines with another color of icing. Three, zip up your dress. Attach a safety pin to the existing zipper tab, which will lengthen your reach. I need that one. Keep your keys close. During trips to the beach or amusement park, pin your car key to the inside of your bathing suit or pocket so it stays secure. And convert your bra. When wearing a racer back tank top, pin the middles of your bra straps together to prevent them from showing. And did you know Walter Hunt, inventor of the safety pin, also designed a repeating rifle, a fountain pen, and a streetcar bell, among other items? From Martha Stewart Living, Cookie Class. For flawless results, try these time-tested and retested techniques from our food editors. 1. Measure precisely. Put dry and liquid ingredients in the correct cups. Dipper style for dry, clear pitchers for wet. And though your dry measuring cup looks like a scoop, don't use it that way. Flours will get too compacted. Instead, spoon them in, piled above the rim, and sweep the top with a knife or offset spatula to level it. 2. Respect the room temperature rule. The secret to perfectly mixed cookie dough is leaving eggs and butter out in advance to come to room temperature. In a pinch, place eggs in a bowl of warm but not boiling water for a few minutes until they no longer feel cool to the touch, and microwave butter on low power in 5-second increments, flipping it from side to side each time until it's soft. And to ensure even baking, to turn out uniform batches and no pale or burnt outliers, halfway through baking time, swap your baking sheets when using more than one at a time, from the top rack to the bottom, and vice versa, and rotate each one from back to front. Also from Martha Stewart Living, Secrets to a Great Holiday Party. Planning a holiday party doesn't have to be complicated. The trick is to serve a pared-down but special-feeling menu. One of my favorites, which I serve at my annual open house in Bedford, is a delicious fresh seafood buffet of oysters and shrimp, accompanied by a bar stocked with icy cold whites, a delectable rosé, and a sparkling wine or two. As a young married woman in New York City, I experienced such a buffet at the townhouse of some friends before a performance of The Messiah at Carnegie Hall. It occurred to me at the time that our hostess was a genius to focus on such a limited yet tasty and refined menu. We ate our fill, then trekked to the concert, sated and happy. When preparing this spread, make sure you use high-quality seafood. Seek out a reputable fishmonger. And remember, seafood should smell clean, never fishy. Opt for sustainably harvested or raised shrimp, and choose oysters that are tightly closed. Plan for 3 to 6 shrimp and 3 to 4 oysters per guest. I always try to find an expert to shuck oysters at my party, but it's easy enough to do ahead on your own, and I've got those tips for you for later. I also make traditional toppings. I think they just taste better than anything you can buy. My jalapeno mignonette is an adaptation of the garnish served at Hog Island Oyster Company in Marshall, California. The fresh horseradish is a take on my mom's recipe. I make mine in a food processor. Of course, you can build on this buffet for a hungrier group. Try adding a country ham with angel biscuits, or pâté de foie gras with Melba toast points, or a bowl of domestic farm-raised caviar with all the fixins. The important thing is to keep it simple so you can relax and enjoy the party. Happy holidays and cheers. And so here is her shrimp cocktail recipe. Make this recipe 3 times to generously fill a 10-inch serving platter or cake stand. Cover a rimmed baking sheet with ice to cool the cooked shrimp. In a large stock pot, combine 3 quarts water, 2 large carrots, 1 celery stalk with its leaves, 4 thyme sprigs, 1 tablespoon kosher salt, and 1 half teaspoon whole peppercorns. Cut a lemon in half, squeeze the juice of 1 half into the pot, and toss in the rind. Cut the other half into wedges and set aside. Bring water in the pot to a boil. Add 2 pounds of unpeeled large shrimp, 16 to 20. Cover and remove from heat. Let stand until the shrimp are bright pink and curled, 3 to 5 minutes. Drain. Transfer the shrimp to a tray of ice and let cool completely. Once cool, shrimp can be refrigerated in an airtight container for up to 2 days. Just before serving, peel the shrimp, leaving the tails intact if desired, and cut along the backs to remove veins. Serve chilled with cocktail sauce. For oysters on the half shell, to keep your oysters icy cold and in place, fill a large metal bowl with water and freeze it. Then put down a bed of crushed ice, garnish with evergreen boughs, and lay the just shucked oysters on top. Here is your How to Shuck an Oyster guide. Norm Bloom, owner of Copps Island Oysters in Norwalk, Connecticut, gives us his technique. And you might want to get a sighted person to do this. You need a very, very sharp knife, and this could be dangerous. First, find the hinge. Insert the tip of a shucking knife into the muscle that holds the shells together at the bottom tip. Turn it like a key until it pops open. Then, scrape the knife along the top to slice the muscle. Be careful not to damage the meat. Clean any sand or grit from the bottom shell. And last, release the oyster. Glide the knife underneath the meat to separate it from the abductor muscle without spilling the liquid, aka liqueur. Serve on ice. And here are the cocktail sauces, the different sauces she was talking about. First, cocktail sauce. Since the spiciness of horseradish varies greatly, start with a smaller amount, then add more to taste. We need to combine 3/4 cup ketchup, 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, 1 to 3 tablespoons fresh horseradish or prepared horseradish, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground pepper, and about 1/2 teaspoon hot sauce, such as Tabasco, if desired. For fresh horseradish, coarsely chop 3 ounces peeled fresh horseradish. Transfer to a food processor and pulse until finely ground. Add 1 teaspoon sugar, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/4 cup distilled white vinegar. Pulse to combine. Jalapeno mignonette. Combine 1 cup unseasoned rice vinegar, 1 medium jalapeno seeded and diced, or about 3 tablespoons, 1 teaspoon sugar, 1 teaspoon kosher salt, and 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground pepper. And red wine mignonette. Combine 1 cup red wine vinegar, 1 small shallot minced or about a quarter cup, 1 teaspoon sugar, and 1 teaspoon kosher salt. All of these sauces will keep in an airtight container in the fridge for up to a week. From Family Circle, Family Dinner, Shaved Vegetable and Prosciutto Pizza. Heat oven to 500 degrees. Coat a sheet pan with cooking spray. Place a 1-pound pizza dough, which you can do a store-bought is fine, a store-bought shell, on the pan and stretch it to fit. Work from the center outward so you don't get skinny, torn edges and a thick crust in the middle. Combine 6 ounce part skim mozzarella, shredded, and 1 cup part skim ricotta in a bowl. Spread top of the dough with the ricotta mixture, leaving a 1/2 inch border around the edge. Toss 1 medium zucchini, trimmed and shaved with a vegetable peeler, and 4 white mushrooms, thinly sliced, with 1 tablespoon olive oil, and arrange over cheese in an even layer. Sprinkle 1/3 cup grated pecorino romano over top. Bake pizza until edges of dough are slightly browned and vegetables are tender, 14 to 15 minutes. Top with 2 ounces thinly sliced prosciutto, torn into bite-sized pieces, and a 1/2 cup oil-packed sun-dried tomatoes, drained and sliced. Bake until heated through about 2 minutes. Remove from oven and let rest about 3 minutes before slicing, and it serves 4. Next, a New England fish dinner. Heat oven to 425. Coat a sheet pan with cooking spray. Combine 1 pound Yukon Gold potatoes cut into 3/4 inch chunks and 1 medium onion chopped with 1 tablespoon olive oil in a bowl. Toss with 1 teaspoon fresh thyme, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon ground black pepper. Arrange on a sheet pan in a single layer. Combine 12 ounces of green beans trimmed and 1 tablespoon oil in the same bowl. Toss with 1/4 teaspoon salt. Roast potatoes until they just start to soften, about 10 minutes. Slide potatoes to one side, add the green beans to the pan, and roast 5 minutes more. Meanwhile, season 4 6-ounce cod fillets with 1/2 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon black pepper. Combine 3/4 cup panko breadcrumbs, 2 tablespoons melted unsalted butter, and 2 tablespoons chopped fresh parsley, and 1 teaspoon lemon zest in a bowl. Firmly press mixture evenly over the top of each fillet. Slide green beans and potatoes over, coat exposed portion of pan with cooking spray, and add cod. Roast until the potatoes are browned and the cod just flakes but is still moist, 14 to 15 minutes. And serves 4. Superhero tip: flounder, haddock, pollock, and halibut all make good stand-ins for the cod in this recipe. Next, from Real Simple Thoughts, the first step in crafting the life you want is to get rid of everything you don't. And that was Joshua Becker from the book The Minimalist Home. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long till next time.